Talk like, okay. I was wondering, I had watched the debate between Kyle Butt and Scott, what exactly his last name was, but Scott had mentioned that he believed that our religion came from the man's natural instinct to be afraid of things he does not understand, and attributed gods to the things that he did not understand. How do we, as Christians, combat that kind of thought process?
Okay, great question. Basically, one of the things I didn't point out in Romans chapter 1 that Paul is trying to communicate is the fact that everybody worships something. Whether it be, maybe some of you worship exercise. Maybe some of you worship golf. Paul specifically mentions the creation. So everybody has a void that they're trying to fill. The only way, though, that void actually gets full is if they worship the Creator. One of the things that I would have posed back to Scott would be, you know, if we just evolve the idea of religion, does it make sense from a evolutionary perspective? Why would humans give time, money, and energy to something if all of life is just about survival of the fittest? Folks, what we're doing right here is so counter-evolutionary, it doesn't make any sense. So that's how I would come back to him. And if you really want to prove his point from my perspective, ask God to go sit in a Barnes & Noble and watch how many people go to the self-help section. Because folks, people are trying to fill a void. They're trying to find something. What they need is right here. Good question. Somebody else had a question in the back. Oh, they chickened out on me. Other comments, questions? Okay, I'm going to repeat her question because it didn't come through real clear on the mic. Why does radiocarbon dating give us erroneous dates? It gives us usually very, very ancient dates. Before I answer her question completely, let me make sure everybody kind of has a general knowledge of how it works. Basically, when sunlight enters the atmosphere, it breaks down into chemical components that are taken in by plants and animals. We eat those plants and animals, and part of what we're eating is radioactive carbon. Now, don't worry, you know, it's not going to kill you. But everybody in this room has radioactive carbon in your body, carbon-14. The way the dating method works is they believe carbon-14, radioactive carbon, breaks down after you die at a very slow, steady rate. And allegedly, you lose half of the radioactive carbon in your body every 5,730 years. So let me give you a real quick hypothetical. We find a bone that's got 10 radioactive units in it, and I've got 20 as a living person. It's got 10, I've got 20, it's lost half, so according to their dating method, that bone should be 5,730 years old. Couple of problems with it. Number one, anybody live 5,730 years to know that that's the true half-life of carbon? No. Problem number two, it is dependent on uniformity. And I'll give you the perfect example to answer her question, why it's no good. If we were suddenly covered over tonight, and the same thing happened to a congregation by Mount St. Helens, and the same thing happened to a congregation in Japan, and they come back 1,000 years from now, they dig us up, they date our bones, we should date exactly the same, because we died the same night, right? Yet the people by Mount St. Helens have been eating plants and animals that were exposed to more radioactivity when that volcano went off. You think there's any radioactivity in Japan right now? You see, radiocarbon dating depends on a uniform, ever since the beginning of time until today, a uniformity that doesn't really exist. It doesn't account for catastrophes, volcanoes, hurricanes, etc. The other thing that really just, if you want to see me really kind of get irked, how many times have we seen them date a dinosaur bone saying, you know, radiocarbon dating, this is so many millions of years old. Do we have a living dinosaur to compare that to know how much it should have had to begin with? So let's say we got a dinosaur bone that has 10 units in it. How many units does a living dinosaur have? Well, it could be 11, it could be 111. We don't know. It's based on assumption. Good question. Right down here, he's coming. See, I would say they look like Phil Donahue, but those two young men are a little young for Phil Donahue. Okay. She said, explain population control worries and how that fits into the humanistic idea. I can still remember to this day when I was in elementary and junior high type school, them telling us how, you know, the population is exploding and there's not going to be enough resources and yada, yada, yada. And as such, we're supposed to only replace ourselves. Some of you in here probably remember hearing the same kind of thing. And the idea is, if we're good stewards, what we do is we grow up, we get married, and we have two kids, one to replace the husband, one to replace the wife. That's it. You don't have any more. Because if you have more, we got a population explosion. And they would show us in textbook these pictures of starving folks, which granted, there are starving people, absolutely. But you know what? God in His infinite wisdom has given man the ability to create lots more food with lots less space. That's number one. Number two, if they convince us just to have two children, and let's say just by numbers, they're able to convert one of those into a humanist. You realize what's going to start happening to Christianity? It's going to keep getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And folks, listen to me. I know the Lord said the church will be here when He comes back, but guess what? It may be a remnant in the United States of America. I told you guys this morning, Muslims are having six children per family. We're averaging 2.05. Actually, right now, if I were completely honest with you this morning, I would have dropped those numbers down a little bit because the recession, the economic situation, is actually causing us not to have as many children. People view it and say, oh, wow, I can't have another kid because, after all, they cost a lot of money. Well, they do cost a little bit of money, but you know what? They're a blessing. And if we want to create warriors for God, one of the ways we do that is we have to have the warriors. We have to actually have an army. So I think it takes a whole different mindset from what the humanists are telling us. Hey, don't have more than one or two kids. That's what China's policy is. In fact, in China, you get one. If you don't like that one, you can abort it. But you can't have more than two with government assistance. And in the country of China, abortion clinics are as popular as convenience stores. Good comment, question. Any other thoughts, questions, comments? You guys are going to let me off easy. See, y'all don't know, if y'all don't ask me questions, I get to ask you questions. All right. Tell me some changes you've seen in the church in the last 40 years. Young people.
Disappearing.
Young people disappearing.
Old people die and the congregation dies.
I didn't say this morning, but I came this close. And the reason I didn't say it is because I made a woman cry about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I don't like making people cry. I don't handle that well. I almost asked you to look around for the 20-year-olds. You know what's missing in almost every congregation of the Lord's people? It's a 20-year-old. I said it a couple of weeks ago, and a lady visibly started looking around, and then she started weeping because they're not here. Good point. You got a comment or a question? Okay. Absolutely. On one hand, you've got people who are leaning towards entertainment. Folks, listen to me very loudly and clearly. If you get them with entertainment, you're going to have to keep them with entertainment. And entertainment is not what the church is about. We've forgotten somewhere along the way who the audience really is in worship. The audience is Jehovah God. It's not us. It's not about us. Never was about us. See, on one end of the spectrum, you got people who are bringing in the bands. And I told somebody at lunch, and I wasn't making this up. In Nashville, we look at the church, and it's kind of like Baskin Robbins. You got 31 flavors, and you can get just about anything you want. And I was telling them there really is a, and I'm using this really loosely, Church of Christ, who you can go and you can worship Saturday night. Go ahead and take the Lord's Supper for your convenience so you don't have to get up on Sunday. And following that, they've got line dancing. That was in the paper. That's a really good mark for us. But like I say, then you've got the other ditch. And that is the radicals, the folks that have basically clung so hard to legalism. They're almost pharisaical, kind of a watchdog attitude. That realistically, they've completely forgotten what religion is really all about. Moms and dads, one of the things that I think we've done pretty good in the church is teaching our kids some of the fundamentals about proving the existence of God, proving the deity of Christ, the inspiration of the Bible. But I think somewhere along the way, we forgot to teach our kids how to have a relationship with God. You know, if you can prove these three pillars right here, but you don't have a relationship, that's not good. Other thoughts, comments, questions?
You talking about church changes. One thing I remember when I was growing up, we were called Scripture Quoting Church of Christ.
Bible toting, Scripture quoting.
Right. Well, and we don't hear that anymore. I mean,
when our homes mirror the world, then the values of our children are also going to mirror those of the world. And if the world is saying that NFL is important, and that Lady Gaga is important, and that these certain clothing is important, and our kids buy into that, folks, all of a sudden what you've just done is taken God out of the position he should be in, which is chief of everything in our lives, and you've relegated him to a back burner. And I promise you, there are way too many Christian homes where that is the case. Basically, what we're doing is we've got our little Christian box that we visit every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and we punch in for an hour. And we say all the right things and do all the right things, and yet the rest of the time, we are 100% in the world. That's not getting the job done. We got two generations of lost people to prove that. Other thoughts, comments, questions? All right, I'm going to let you guys go tonight. Thank you very much for your attention. We'll do this again tomorrow night. If you've got comments, questions, thoughts, whether it be about creation, evolution, cultural things, please bring them. Please bring your friends. In fact, if you've got a cell phone or email, text somebody, call somebody, invite them to be here tomorrow. Look forward to being with you this weekend. Thank you.